Welcome to the Canadian Space Society podcast. I'm your host, Mahima Kapoor, and welcome back to Space A for another episode. I'm particularly excited about this episode because today we're chatting with the co-founders of SpaceRide. As fun as that sounds, SpaceRide is the first on-demand network of rockets with the ability to transport cargo from Earth to the Moon and everywhere in between. SpaceRide will be the new generation of rocket technology that promises to consume far less fuel than conventional rockets and dramatically reduce the environmental impact associated with lifting small-scale payloads to orbit. So the innovation making this possible is a launch system that uses balloons to carry rockets beyond Earth's atmosphere before ignition takes place. So as cool as that premise sounds, today we're chatting with the co-founders. So we have the chief operating officer, Saharnaz Safari, and CEO Saurabh Hagigat. Fun fact, they're not only business partners, but also life partners, which I'm sure makes for an interesting partnership that we'll hear about in the episode. So welcome to our podcast today, Saharnaz and Saurabh. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Mahima. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you for being here. I'm really excited to chat with you. So I've sort of set the scene a little bit by describing SpaceRide to our audience, but tell me a little bit more about your journey conceptualizing SpaceRide and which fundamental problem this solution is helping to solve. Saharnaz, we'll start with you to answer this question.
Sure. So for me, it was really Saurabh with the idea of how to solve the bottleneck of innovation in space. And I decided to join him for this ride, which is space ride. But his insight from his past experiences, especially at Cruise, the self-driving car company out of San Francisco, which he was a very early engineer and later managing engineering teams there, was that innovation on the Earth is literally 50 times faster than innovations in space. And the bottleneck is launch. And that's why we are not doing as fast in space. And so that was the insight that he had. And the reason is that getting to space is expensive, it's time consuming, and how to solve it. He came up with the solution, a network of rockets, as you mentioned, doing on-demand deliveries between the Earth and the Moon. So he got me excited. He's very good at doing that, about, you know, selling his thinking and his ideas. And I got hooked. And that's how we started.
That's awesome. That sounds actually really exciting. One of the things I was wondering about as I was sort of reading about SpaceRide, and I was wondering, like, what has been the history of Canada's rocket legacy? This seems like, you know, it's a breakthrough in terms of environmental impact, but I'd love to be able to know, since you guys are very much in the innovation space, how do we typically send missions into space without our own launch site or rockets that are manufactured here historically?
So sadly, the history of rocketry in Canada doesn't go far back, or does not have many pages in the history book. The last rocket launch that we had out of Fort Churchill was done in 1998, and Black Brant is literally the only rocket that Canada has ever built that got into kind of mass production, if you can think of it. And that's just a sounding rocket, by no means an orbital vehicle or anything like that. And because the fact that we don't have our own launch vehicle, we have to rely on other nations to basically book rides with their rockets and wait in line for our turn to come to launch our satellites to space. We are really good as a nation at building satellites and space robotics, but sadly, we don't have our own access and our own ride. And one of the things that we need to understand is having a launch site or launch facility is not in any form or any way today is going to improve that or solve that problem. Having a launch site is like saying that, oh, I'm going to build a movie theater, and by that token, I have a film industry. No, film industry is in Hollywood, where movies are being manufactured. When you build a movie theater, all you have is a facility that if you get the license, you can replay the movie. That's all you have. If we build a launch site now without having our own domestic rocket, again, we have to go around the world and ask people, are you going to give me a rocket? Are you going to give me a rocket? And keep doing that until someone is willing to come here and launch their rockets. Europe doesn't have its own launch site. Up until now, they have been launching from French Guiana, but they have domestic rockets. And as such, they take timeline and milestones in their own hand. So it's not just about having a facility, because the facility is just something that bunch of concrete and whatnot you can build. But it's about the tech that is difficult. It's the rocket that we need to build. And up until now, we had to rely on other nations. And key thing that SpaceRide is going to change is that Canadian-built satellites and space robotics should no longer rely on other nations to get to space, but can rely on a domestically designed, built rocket being called Rider Rocket, offered by SpaceRide to get to space on their own timeline.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about, you know, what happened with COVID vaccine situation, you know, Canada had purchased many vaccines in advance, but was not getting them because each nation was prioritizing its own people over others. That's what Canadian space companies are facing today with launch. We can also look at how fast Elon Musk was able to build Starlink compared to, for example, Telesat, a Canadian company that had started years before SpaceX started Starlink. Why was Elon able to do it so quickly and surpass Telesat and other competitors? Because he had rockets. Rockets are the bottleneck of utilizing space and space innovation. So without having a Canadian rocket, our space economy is going to stall because we have to patiently wait in line.
Yeah, I think that is a very interesting insight about having this homegrown approach to rocketry. And like, I love that film analogy because 100%, right? We can make it here, but also we should be able to do it, you know, end to end, our own process, a very, you know, Canadian foot forward in our space economy and also taking that active role, right? So far, it's like you said, it's us literally hitching a ride onto another nation's mission and trying to make it happen. So I think hopefully initiatives like yours, like SpaceRide, you guys are pioneers in this space, but hopefully more startups will also start to think in a similar way and really, you know, grow that expertise the way that you guys are. So that's super cool to hear about. Now, the rocket itself, I think, is very fascinating. I think you guys have set up the infrastructure to be correct, but how do the mechanics of the launch system actually work? I'd love to get into the technicalities and see how did you guys land on this balloon technology? What was there other concepts that you guys had explored before, or is this one that you found to be the most interesting and the most viable in your tests and then decided to choose that as the design? I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah, so let me tell you a little bit about the three main hardware components of our system. There's a balloon, then underneath it, it's flying spider, which carries the rocket and is attaching it to the balloon, and then Rider, our smart rocket. The mission starts with the balloon carrying Rider to 3 times higher than planes fly. This is where atmosphere is practically non-existent. Then Flying Spider points Rider, a rocket, in the launch direction. It stabilizes it mid-air, so it practically becomes a launch pad mid-air. Then Rider is released, it ignites and goes to space. But the idea of using a balloon is an older idea. It was, you know, NASA rockets were launched from balloons in the 50s. And there are significant advantages of launching rockets from balloons. It's the only sustainable way to get to space. Other rockets are depleting the ozone layer as they move through the atmosphere while we actually go above it and don't do that. It doesn't need spaceports. We can literally go anywhere and start with the balloon flight. It cuts the costs of getting to space by a factor of 10, which is what the space economy needs if we want to grow as fast as we are thinking of. And so these are the main advantages of the balloon and why we landed on it. But it was really Sohrab that was inspired to do it and come up with this idea.
Yeah, I first got the idea back in 2012 when I was watching the footage of Felix Baumgartner taking a jump out of the Red Bull balloon. So I'm not sure if you remember that. But basically, Felix did that. And as I was looking at it, I realized that this is basically an approach to bypass the atmosphere, shrink the size of the rocket, lower the cost substantially, which is the way to remove the launch bottleneck. Once I got the idea, throughout the years, I've dabbled with the idea. And at some point in 2018, I sat down and did all the calculations to see exactly how much savings we can have by taking advantage of balloon, excuse me, and launching above the atmosphere. And that was the point that it is clear that this is what I need to pursue.
How come this isn't more mainstream? What are the current challenges that you guys are facing? I'd be curious to know that, you know, since you landed on this solution, is it something that other companies are also adopting? Like, do you have competitors in this space, or do you find that because it's still not maybe the mainstream way to launch a rocket, it's a little bit slower in adoption?
So the way we get to space, which is with the balloon and the flying spider. Flying spider became spying flighter. <in my head. laughs> Okay. So this is the way we do it, but our competitors are basically just launching rockets from the ground or planes. You know, it's our competitors are not, mm-hmm. they don't have to directly do what we are doing or how we are doing it. They just, however way they can access space, they become our competitors. But in terms of your question about other companies pursuing this approach, they have tried actually in the last 10, 12 years since computers have miniaturized and this has become a possibility. Other companies have tried. They have not gotten anywhere close to where we have. We have done a successful launch already in 2019 out of North Bay. So others were not able to get here. And I think And I do get this question often from even investors. Why, if this idea is so great and we are seeing with you that it is great with the pricing and the access that you're able to provide, why aren't other people doing it? And I always come back to, you know, the expertise. And Sohrab's expertise is controls and navigation. That's his bread and butter. And if you're launching mid-air, that's the expertise that you need, control and navigation, because you don't know exactly where you're going to start the trip for the rocket. When you're doing a launch, you don't know that. Whereas if you're launching from the ground like other rockets, you know exactly where the rocket is going to be leaving, right? So what you have to be able to do, which our flying spider does, and that's Sohrab's control and navigation expertise, is basically calculating, like, on as the rocket is moving with the balloon, it's autonomously calculating a new path, the best path to take to the destination orbit, and it keeps continuing and doing that with, you know, powerful algorithms, and that's what Sohrab even wrote for cruise cars, algorithms of controls and navigation, but instead of space, on the streets. And so I think people that tried to do that, they forgot that the you have to actually solve the problem first for the launch from a balloon mid-air from a location that you don't know before you actually solve the or build your rocket. Everyone was focused on, oh, I'm going to put a rocket on a balloon and then I'm going to launch it and it's going to be fine. But really, you need that third component, the middle component that is connecting the balloon to the rocket. And that's the heart of the operation, this flying spider. And so we thought about that from the beginning because of Sohrab's expertise. He knew that this was going to be challenging from this perspective. And so we worked on that since we started the company.
Yeah, and that sounds like a great synergy as well of your skill set, but also meeting a market demand in a faster and more economical way to manufacture rockets. That's awesome. I'd love to know more about your future plans. So SpaceRide, you're on this journey. You've got a facility. I'm sure you're actively looking more into bettering manufacturing processes and things like that. So what are SpaceRide's future plans and where do you guys see yourself going maybe 5 years from now and 10 years from now?
Yeah, I mean, we have very big plans ahead. Our first flight to space is coming up next year, 2023. And our first mission to the moon is planned for the year after that, 2024. We will be building our network of rockets in space with every mission that we do. So basically every mission from the Earth, we're going to keep that rocket and keep using it in space. We're going to leave it there, but we're not going to leave it as a space junk. We're going to leave it as a useful rocket that can continue performing. And so by 2027, our network of rockets will be delivering everything to and within space on demand, the same way that Amazon and Uber's network of drivers are doing that on the Earth right now. That's going to happen within space.
Space Uber. That's a great idea. That's awesome. This has been awesome chatting with you guys. I'd love to also know, how can the public get more involved with SpaceRide? You've already mentioned your next official launch event is next year. How do you see the public getting more engaged? Other than, of course, doing outreach and just getting more excited about this prospect, is there a direct way that you see the public currently interacting with SpaceRide and your future initiatives?
So the first thing, the first thing that comes to my mind is, of course, if you're looking for a career in space industry, look us up. We have tons of open positions, and every month we are opening more positions for the company. So that's one way. Come join us and let's build this thing in Canada, and not just for Canada, but for the rest of the world, to offer this on-demand access to outer space. And the second thing is, we would love to have the same type of support that people throw behind SpaceX or Tesla in terms of Elon fanboys, or basically people who support and promote anything that comes out of those companies or any other companies that they're a fan of, by doing the same thing for a space ride. So the word gets out there that this company is basically building what's needed for tomorrow's space economy, and that allows us to get in front of more customers as we are basically signing up more customers. That allows us to be in front of more investors, and also it's just having the moral support of the general public is something that space is a very, very hard industry. And when you see there are just people who are championing for you, who are cheering you on, it just gives you motivation. It gives you energy.
Yeah. So I would say follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, and share, interact with us through those platforms when we post things. Let us know what you think. Share with your network if you find it interesting. We would, as Sohrab said, we would love to have champions from the general public, even if you're not interested in joining SpaceRide, but to champion for this to happen and for the country to finally have space launch capability.
I think people just hearing about this will get excited, but it's also cool that you guys are the voice of it, still as the co-founders. You're very invested in also promoting it and marketing it, and you're happy to be that really, the first champions of this initiative. I really, really like that. And sounds like you guys have a really strong mission statement. And I think that will 100% resonate with not only the Canadian space sector, but anyone, right? Like students, other people who are looking to navigate the space industry. This is kind of opening up a new, you know, space for them, really, is to come and join you guys and really make a difference. So I really enjoyed chatting with you guys. I think you guys make a solid team together. Just from this conversation, I can already tell that you guys are going to be up to big things. And thank you so much for being on our podcast. Any final thoughts for the audience before we conclude the episode?
I want to share that before Space Ride, I had not worked on anything related to space. And in the past 4 years, I have been enjoying my time with Space Ride. So don't think that if you don't have a background in anything related to space, but you're a space fan or you're interested in our mission, don't think that you cannot join us. My entire team on the business and operations side are people that just love to be part of the team and, you know, work with a rocket scientist to make this happen. Reach out to me. I always answer when people reach out to me via LinkedIn, for example, and message me. I message them back at all times. So, you know, come join us, talk to us, and we'll respond.
Absolutely. I love that messaging. And maybe I'll send you a message, Sarnas. Maybe we could talk more about it. Yeah. Yeah, it is exciting.
Absolutely. You can email me, so don't worry.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much again, Sarnas and Saurabh. You guys are extremely dynamic duo. I love chatting with you guys. And thanks for being on our podcast. And you know what? Maybe around the time of the launch, we can do another episode where we maybe like a pre-launch event or a post-launch debrief would be extremely fun to do and have you back on the podcast so that we can just, you know, stay on this journey with you, stay on this ride and track the progress and, you know, just really feel connected to your mission as well. So we'd love to have you back again.
Absolutely. Would love to have before or after launch to keep people up to date on our progress and how things are happening. And thank you again for having us on your podcast.
Stay tuned for more exciting episodes from the Canadian Space Society. Bye.